Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the New and Complete Basic Psychic Hour. Today, we are discussing whether one lifetime is enough. So, we'll find out shortly. And taking your calls for readings, 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And always, we like to invite you to join our pages on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, Neil Baker Psychic, and the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I was thinking, actually, I guess last night when I was trying to go to sleep, that we should write an article, another article. It's been a long time since we've written an article, and we can, you know, we have the means to post it on our Facebook, so maybe we can do that. We have so much content we can pull from the book, maybe an excerpt or something from the notes, but that may be forthcoming soon.
Yeah, I think we've got over 1,000 pages.
We've been saying we have over 1,000 pages for like 2 years.
How many pages is it now?
Well, it's over 1,000 in book format. It's near 1,000 on a, you know, on the 8x11 Word program that we use to save the notes.
So it's around 1,000 either way.
Well, it's more. It's probably, I guess, in book form, you know, 5x7 books, or maybe 1,300 pages in notes.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I'd rather see it in one big book, one big volume, instead of putting out volume after volume after volume, getting all the information.
Well, you can't have like a huge book. I mean,
it will be condensed. Those are just the notes.
Right. I mean, you know, in terms of having a book that's large size, you know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
You published a book that was a large...
What's that?
You published a book that was like, what, it was an 8.5x11?
Oh, a large book like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to put it in a...
No.
It's going to be a regular
well,
size
well,
book.
Well, then in the regular size book, it's over 1,000. But those are just notes.
No, it's like about 1,300 in a regular size book. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just notes. I mean, who knows how long the book's going to be, but we're so... I mean, we're not even in the exposition part of the book. So who knows how long the book's going to be? I mean, there's so much we haven't covered in the notes.
It's
going to be...
Years. We've been working on it
five years. We started in 2014. Huh?
Yeah.
So oh, my God.
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years?
Yeah.
And I remember asking you, well, when do you think we're going to be able to get done with this? You said, well, a year, maybe a year.
Have I said that?
You said that, but I think you were lying.
I wasn't standing at the time?
No, that would be laying, I think. I get confused with that verb. Laying, lying.
Well, I think you can correctly use either one, but
well, you can correctly use either one, but whether you're doing it
you could be
or
lying,
not
you could be lying
is another
lying
matter.
Down.
But
yeah.
But anyway, no, it's I think there was a little bit of deception on your part, but I mean, how could we finish it in a year? I mean, really looking at it, so you knew
that deception. you know, I mean, things take a while once you get into it, but realistically, a year
forget it.
And we do the radio shows. I mean, you know how many radio shows we've done?
Like
this
seven.
Is now 690.
I said seven.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
This is our 690th show, and we've been doing the shows since 2012. So it's going on, what, 7 years that we've been doing the shows this August?
It will be 7 years in August.
So that's a long, you know, we're doing that and reading. So anyways, it's a busy, busy schedule, very little time for anything, constantly working. But anyways, our topic today is, is one lifetime sufficient?
Well, and while you're talking, Neil, I'm posting the show to Facebook, so I may be a little distracted. Hopefully I'll be able to concentrate on what you're saying so I can participate here. But I want to post the show.
You have to define what the word sufficient is. Sufficient isn't really an all-inclusive word. When you say it's sufficient, it's more synonymous with satisfactory. So it
is it?
Yeah, sufficient. Oh, it's sufficient. Meaning you've done your job.
Satisfactory, which is like a C. Actually.
Well, yeah.
A C grade.
It comes from the word satisfaction. Yeah. Meaning you've satisfied, you've completed.
You mean completed, satisfied. But I mean, in language now, satisfactory is not outstanding.
Isn't outstanding, but you've turned it into a grade system. The word itself comes from satisfy, which is to be complete, which is to feel complete. So you're sort of on a level of not feeling incomplete. You have satisfaction. I don't know, the Rolling Stones made the word famous.
They weren't getting any satisfaction. I'm sorry, they weren't getting no satisfaction.
I said they made the word famous, but I didn't say they made it complete.
No, in fact, I can't get no satisfaction.
I know.
Yeah, very
negative. But
yeah,
one wants to get some. But
okay.
But satisfaction is one lifetime sufficient. Can one lifetime be sufficient and still be incomplete? Absolutely. You can complete a lifetime and do very well. But that's like saying, well, I completed the 10th grade and it was sufficient and I completed it. I got straight A's. So therefore, I don't have to return to school. Well, that's kind of a crude analysis, but yet at the same time, there's some level of credibility to it. Because in one lifetime, you can have a sufficient lifetime and do everything you're meant to do in that lifetime, but there's still more work to be done. So we get into the ideas, what is sufficient in one lifetime? Well, what level of chakra are you working on? Are you working on basically the first chakra and trying to complete everything on that chakra? Those would be like people who say, you know what, I want to come down, I want to have a family, I want to buy a home, I want to have kids, I want to have a good job, you know, go to church on Sunday, go to synagogue on Sabbath, I go to the Muslim, go to the temple, pray, whatever. This is what I want, and this is what my goal is. And, you know, maybe take a vacation here and there and that kind of thing. Do my hobbies, play a little golf, go fishing.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, you're coming
no
back.
No fish.
Well, but, you know,
so
that level is good. And it does occupy other levels of life, relationship, job, you know, making money, maybe building something in terms of your career. They all reach a certain level of energy. Now, we can say that that life is sufficient, but it doesn't mean that the life is transcendent. So can one lifetime...
So now getting into the sufficiency, the word sufficient is not sufficient.
Complete and incomplete.
Right. So all-encompassing sufficiency versus not or satisfactory, which is getting into the grading system, which is like a C. Yes, satisfactory is you've completed enough to pass you to the next level, but not necessarily catapult you out of, you know, your...
Well, you know, you look at it, you know, when you look at stories, let's use the illustration of Christ. When he dies, so he dies and it's finished. He says it's finished. And then supposedly that's it. He goes up to heaven or whatever. But yet in the succeeding chapters, he comes back. And he starts to visit people.
Right, the transfiguration.
And there's still work he has to do. And Mary wants to touch him. He says, you can't touch him. Yeah, I haven't ascended to my father yet. So what's that all about? He returns, and yet there's more work to be done in that little nutshell of a existence. So, and when he returns, he appears in different forms, different faces, different psyches. And he doesn't really look the same to any one person until the people's eyes are opened. Now, that's one example. There are other examples in life and in lore and stories that assume the same kind of theme. One can have a complete lifetime. You can do a lot in one lifetime and feel it is finished, but it is not finished. Not typically. According to this brain, very rarely does one person come to the earth once and it's all done. Now that's going to be anti-Christian theology and all that kind of stuff. And Judaism doesn't actually ascribe to returning again. I mean, you have to get into Buddhism and things like this to even get the idea going. But then we get into the content. If the body is sufficient, does that mean the soul is transcendent?
Okay.
That's the question.
If
the body does a sufficient job, including the personality and the brain and the works, does that mean now that the soul is transcendent into spirit permanently?
Okay.
That's the big question.
So that's the question. We're going to revisit that in a moment, but we're going to take a caller first. So this is 469. Area code. Hello.
Hello, this is LaShondra.
LaShondra. LaShondra?
Yes.
Oh, good. And LaShondra, where are you calling from?
I'm in Mississippi.
Mississippi. What's the weather like there?
It's starting to get warmer.
Yeah, here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can feel the spring is coming in.
Does it really get hot there in the summer? Is it like stifling hot?
Oh, yes, it gets hot here. And the mosquitoes are really bad.
Oh, boy.
We've had bad mosquitoes, though, too. We're in California, and the mosquitoes have gotten
really?
Worse in the last couple of years. Yeah, and they have these super mosquitoes. Remember the ones we had last year? They're, like, really persistent.
They stick to you?
I'm sorry?
The ones that stick to you?
I don't know if they stick to you, but they bite everywhere.
They're
rather than
aggressive.
Just the ankles, they go for any part of your body. But anyway, you know, the weather's changing everywhere, but... Of course, you're not here to talk about the weather, so I'm sure you didn't call us because you wanted to discuss that. What's your birth date?
June the 28th, 1983.
We wrote down an 8, but let's see what the master number is. 16, 26, 37, 10, 1. Oh, wow. So you're 17 and 19. You're 32. Is that right? Going to be.
No, 35.
35. What's wrong with me? 35 years old. 35 years old. What did I do here? Okay. And you're a couple, and you're going to be 36 this year?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Your karmic number is 37 and your master number is 1. So you're going to have a big change coming up a year from June, essentially.
Okay.
So what brings you to the show? What's your question?
I moved from Texas, from Dallas in December. Yeah, in December. You know, because I was getting custody of my little sister and I just wanted to deal with all the legal things and stuff. But I'm moving back to Texas when school gets out in June, and I've been applying for jobs in the corporate industry because I really don't want to teach anymore. I want to get back into corporate. So I've been applying for jobs. I do have some phone interviews lined up, and I'm trying to see, do you see me having a job?
So you're wondering about... Go ahead.
Yeah, career. Do you see me having something lined up for me by June, by the time I get ready to leave?
Well, I mean, June's her birthday. So she's, you're, if we have it straight, you lived in Texas. Are you from Mississippi originally?
Yes, I'm from Mississippi. I left in 2000 and I left Mississippi in 2007 when I graduated from college. And a social worker called me in December and asked me if I could get custody of my 13-year-old sister, if my dad's child. And if not, she was going to go to foster care. So I told her yes. So I moved here to handle all the legal things. And she's, you know, been dealing with a lot of mental things, and I had to, you know, get her some help and get her counseling and, you know, take care of all of that. And she's made a huge, you know, progress since I've been doing all these things. And, you know, I've decided to move back to Texas because it's too traumatizing here for her, and she just needs a new environment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that, you know, financially I will be okay when I get there. You know, I just want to make sure that I have a career lined up for me when I leave.
And you teach
but I
now?
Do have, mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I do have some interviews in corporate I've applied.
Do you have any savings?
Well, I have money coming in. I have a lump sum that will be coming in the next few weeks. And it's a pretty good amount that will hold me over. I do know that for sure. But I just didn't want to exhaust all of it paying bills. I wanted money. And then during the summer, I'll still be getting paid with teaching.
Where is the lump sum coming from? Is that something to do with the custody arrangement?
No, it's coming from the money that I've invested in teaching.
Oh, so you've invested in teaching and you're cashing out your investments?
Mm-hmm.
And teaching, what kind of teaching do you do?
Special ed.
And what kind of corporate job are you looking for?
I really want to get into claims adjusting.
Claims adjusting, like in insurance?
Yeah.
And special ed, are you at the grade?
The damages.
Are you at the grade school level in special ed?
I was, but right now, this is my first year ever doing middle school, and I would never do middle school again.
So you did grade school before, okay.
And what you don't have to give details, but does the amount of $15,000 come into play anywhere?
If by the time I get the money and then I have my pay coming in, it'll total about that much, yes.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I was looking for, to get a validation. That validation helps to establish the premise of you getting a job.
And she's going to get a job, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
The vibe felt like you were going to get one.
Yeah.
The 15,000 figure that was coming into the brain here felt like, well, if you validate that and that's close, then that brings out the stronger conclusion that you're going to have a job in corporate in claims adjusting by June. You're going to be 36, and if you notice in your birth date, the last number in your birth date is a 3, and the first one is a 6. And mm-hmm. in our composition of numerical codes, how we work things out, that means something to in our calculation of establishing a code message. And so there is a code message in there that at 36, you will be having this change. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question, but not that personal. When you were 14,
okay.
You're about in the 8th, 9th grade. Was that a traumatizing year for you, according to your recollection?
Yes, because that's when I left and went to Atlanta for the summer. And when I came back, my mom was with a totally different, you know, man. She had left my stepdad, and I was actually in Texas with his family. And I didn't know any of this was going on. And then when I came back, everything had changed that quick. And, you know, and that's when everything changed from that point moving forward.
Okay, so that validation is, again, another stepping stone to help us kind of predict that you'll have a job lined up by June. It, you know, you come in with a lot of karma. You come in with a lot of mess. But so what? Okay. It happened.
And she's, and, I mean, obviously dealt with it in a constructive way. Otherwise, yeah, she wouldn't be, you know, working and successful and have custody of her younger sister. So that's, I mean,
she teaches special ed. You know, you see in your number system, 6 and 2 is a breakup of 8. Then the next number is an 8, which is the fulfillment of the 6-2. Then you have a continuation of 8 in your year, and then it drops 5 down to 3.
And I wrote it down in 8 before she gave us her birthday. And that's a significant number theme in her birthday because of the broken energy and the solid energy, even though she's not an 8 master number.
The thing left in symbolizing this energy is that there should be 3 energies around you. So it's you, your sister. Are you, do you have a special relationship or another child or anything?
I do. I have a boyfriend, and you guys actually, I waited on him for like almost 5 years. And I spoke with you two last year, and you told me that we were going to get into a relationship. And we actually did in December.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Ah.
And,
well,
and December is a 3, 1, 2. So, see, there's a 3. So, to answer your question, it looks good. The outlook looks good. It looks very good that you're going to have a job by then, and things will be, you know, in good repair, in good standing. We could be wrong, but you know, the way we work with this, all this raw material stuff and psychic stuff, it seems to be that's the case that's coming up.
I'm just curious about the boyfriend, though. What's going to happen when you move to Texas?
He's in Texas.
Oh, he's in Texas.
Yeah,
he's
I left him and came here.
So right now it's long
but
distance.
But he comes here. Yeah, he comes here to visit me because he's been very supportive, and he was saying that he know it's more convenient for him to come here than me to go there, being
well,
that you know,
great.
I have her.
That's great. That's great.
Well, yeah, does that help?
It's been a lot of support. It does.
Good. Well, thanks for checking in with us, LaShondra.
Yeah. Hope that kind of helped
you
out.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. It did.
Good. Great. LaShondra, thanks for your call. LaShondra should join our page, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour on Facebook. Also, she can follow us or send us a friend request. Anyway, back to our discussion here.
Yeah, there's the physical, there's the satisfaction or the sufficiency of the physical life prompt a transcendent life. No, it doesn't. They're two separate issues. So you can have a sufficient life and do, I really feel like you've completed your life, but that doesn't mean that you've transcended. Transcending
the earth
is a whole different matter. So
yeah, and it's much more difficult than people realize. It really is. It's much more difficult, and sometimes there's not even the opportunity in a lifetime to get into that consciousness. You know.
Well, that's just it, because the. Every lifetime, you can have 5 lifetimes, and each lifetime is successfully sufficient. But you're working your way up to the essence of higher knowledge. We can't really transcend without that higher knowledge. I mean, we can be poor. We can, you know, there's passages that suggest that there will be a transcendent energy field. And you don't have to necessarily have accomplished a lot in terms of, you know, the poor in spirit, the last shall be first, all these phrases.
So you're getting into the Beatitudes.
Yeah, a little bit in there. But they were borrowed from other literature and excerpts and segments that involved many religions, and the whole meaning of having a higher life is not that you just don't involve your life in terms of the circumference of your ego, and that doesn't also mean that, well, I give to different organizations,
right, or I volunteer. I mean, that's all great.
That's a sufficient life. But a transcendent life has something, it reaches higher to a concept of what the spirit really is. The spirit needs to be nourished.
And generally, when we're talking about achieving transcendence, well, achieving is the wrong word, but transcending, let's just say transcending, and being in a given lifetime where that's the goal, there's going to be a great element of sacrifice. You have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice for others, for sure. And everybody's calling is going to be different in that regard, you know, but sacrifice is a big part of it.
Sacrifice is no greater gift than he or she who sacrifices his or her life for his fellow human.
No, I mean, look at Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his life. I mean,
the aspect of though of sacrifice means that you don't sacrifice something that you don't have. So someone who doesn't really have that much in life and sacrifices his or her life for a cause or for another person is not the same as someone who has everything and sacrifices his or her life for the sake and welfare of another human being or the life security of another human being. The passage also is alluded to, if you're a rich man, can you give up everything? So
right, and
that's
there's a soft approach. Story in the Bible about that, right?
Yeah, there's a soft approach to what that kind of sacrifice is, as opposed to sacrificing one's life for another, which is a whole different concept. You know, it's funny because I always use the illusion that a guy's walking down the street, he's got a wonderful family, a wonderful life, everything's going great. And he sees a car coming and it's going to hit a child. And he knows that he's got one chance to run into the street, push that child out of harm's way, because there won't be time to even pick up the child, and thereby possibly, or in all probability, die. And at that moment, they take that, in that crucial moment, they give up everything for the sake of a child. Now, that's a bad story. It's tragic. And it's got all kinds of ambiguities.
Right. The next question is, well, you know, sacrificing his life for that child means that the rest of his family lose a father, and
right,
he's putting them at risk for that act. So then you have to get into that, you know, what's
it does.
Important.
It becomes very controversial. You know, it becomes very controversial, or as opposed to someone who joins the armed forces and they die in the line of duty. Or they're firemen and they die in the line of duty. These sacrifices still occupy the concept of the very word sacrifice. Does it really mean, though, that you transcend? Not necessarily,
because, right? Yeah.
Again, that may even be karmic. Maybe the destiny of that human being was they had to sacrifice their life for another. Maybe there was a karmic connection between two individuals.
Right, and that could be just a step forward to the next lifetime and maybe better circumstances or more opportunity to be spiritual, because that man who has a wonderful family and everything may be actualized on an earth level and sacrificing his life, but there could be, you know, nothing spiritual about him. So then if he sacrifices his life, and then there's all these other questions about whether he, you know, the ones I mentioned regarding abandoning a wife and family for the sake of another,
right,
and so on and so forth. But I mean, does he necessarily have the content in his soul to be able to lift off the earth permanently after that act?
Well, sure. I mean, you can stack up a successive series of lifetimes, and each lifetime is sufficient and gratifying and of good content, and come back to the planet yet another time. And with all these stacked up good lifetimes, you come back and you're in high standing. You're forgive the word, but you're a great politician. You're a great spokesman. You're a great writer. You're a great humanitarian. These people have come back in more cases than less that they have succeeded in establishing lifetimes wherein they earn this position of high standing in the world. Now the problem, though, that a human being's face is that there's a fall from grace. A lot of times, some of our greatest people lack the excellence of their performance because they fall from grace. They become corrupt. So life is very fragile. And it doesn't mean that we can't have built a series of sufficient lifetimes and then yet come back for that last one and then fall completely from the position that we were trying to attain and then come back with an abundance of karma. Sometimes these people that come back are compounded in their birth date.
So, right, meaning
like
29, 11, 2.
Meaning that they have a little bit of karma from each lifetime and then a vast amount from another one. And all of that is put into an energy field wherein the working out of the karma becomes a lifetime situation.
Yeah, you know, and we're talking about compounded people. I mean, we're kind of maybe getting off track a minute here, but recently with the scandal with the schools, Lori Loughlin, I was looking at the birth dates of her family, and one of her daughters is a 47112, really, really high karmic number. She's come back and, you know, has all this wealth. I mean, she's very physically attractive, and she's a brand. I mean, she does like a YouTube channel where she's, you know, she does makeup and so on and so forth. But look at that high karmic number, that 47112, and then what's happened in her lifetime, talking about a fall.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's about as high as the numerical value
goes. So it's a very high karmic number.
So
what, I mean, what will happen to her? She probably will come back. I mean, assuming she's coming back, and then
Well, you see, there's the 47112.
Where is she going to go after 47? Since it rises each time, she's probably going to go back to a lower 3, I guess.
Well, 47112, actually, she can come back and be a 2 or a 1.
Because it's compounded, and
yeah,
you can repeat the lifetime.
And so,
but it's the numerical value will be different.
Yeah, and since the turn of the century, the karmic numbers
are
lower. A lot lower. So you don't even have compounded some numbers. Some people just are.
She might come back as an 11 again.
Yeah.
Just an 11.
Could she come back as an 11 again? The 11 indicates that there's going to be some danger in her energy field. People who have 11s in their numbers, they're always susceptible to some crisis that has a vast amount of darkness in it. And so if you have somebody like a 47112, that might seem high numbers. They might have high numbers in her birthday. They attain a certain power.
Right, she does. But I think she's born in September. I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But, you know, the idea, Thomas More in Man for All Seasons, the play, Robert Bolt did the play, and Thomas More played the character. Was the person that involved in the play Man for All Seasons. But what does it merit a man to win something when he sacrifices his whole soul for it? In other words, what does it merit a man to gain the position maybe of a kingdom or a government position, and you sacrifice your whole soul by having discredit,
right,
towards a higher goal or an omen or a faith or a god, to lie, things like this? So the idea is that if we are in a high position, and these are also people who fall from grace in high positions, you know, politicians are notorious for this. There was just an article in the paper about this police force, and the guys have tattoos, and they belong to a subculture, a gang.
Yeah, gangs.
And they're
crazy.
You know, nutty policemen. But the idea that...
Not like the Nutty Professor.
Not like the Nutty Professor. But the idea that we are all susceptible to a fall, and that can be amongst those who are famous and powerful as much as those who are not powerful. Think of the guy that lives on the street and he finds a purse with all this money in it and a wallet, an identification, and he returns it, the money and the wallet, to the person. I mean, there are people, but you don't have to be powerful in order to be powerful. You can be small. There's so many stories about homeless people saving people's lives and not wanting any credit for it, just moving forward. You know, the wanderers in our planet that walk the earth, have no home, have no roots. It doesn't bother anybody. And they scavenge a living. They walk the planet just looking for odds and ends, and they get by. But yet along their walk in life, they grace the planet. You know, they feed the birds. They help people cross the street. They do small things, and they're being watched. We're always being watched by a higher force. So those are the elements. The other one is this famous story about the man that gives tithes to the church, and he gives, you know, $500, and then the woman comes in and gives a penny.
The way who obviously that's everything she has versus
that's everything she has. So it's all relative. You know, I'm sure Einstein would agree. It's all relative to it's in the position of the person. Not the position of the planet, but in the position of the person in relation to the movement of the planet. That's where the real basis is. So if you're looking at a sufficient life, you have to measure where you are in your world and how much you are prompting a transcendent life, not just a sufficient life, which can feel very complete. But what are you doing on the planet that is transcendent? What are you doing that's extraordinarily beyond all of the things that your ego desires? That's where the content of the soul and the spirit absorb the actions, not in just the basis of what you do to give yourself pleasure. The soul won't go up with the family and the job and the car. The soul is going to go up with the higher amounts of work that one does to achieve that kind of essence.
So, you know, in all the years, Neil, that you've been doing readings, how have you ever encountered like someone who's been on the planet the first time? I mean, I don't think I've ever asked you that. And I mean, I know that in our work together, I think everybody we've worked with has been, you know, has had past lives. But have you ever worked with a fresh soul?
Well, you know, I mean, in Psalms, it says that, and this is where the big issue of abortion is, that God starts to knit the soul while it's in the womb. And so this is where the great debate, at least in spirituality, occurs, that where does life begin? And does it really begin in the womb? And is God knitting the soul together to the flesh and prompting the identity of the individual?
Right. Yeah. I mean, then you get into the idea of when does the soul get placed in the body, you know.
Well,
I mean,
then you get into the idea is when was the soul created? So the mysteries, and surely there's going to be mysteries. One mystery follows another. There's never the purity of discovery. We're never going to discover anything as long as there's the word mystery involved and another step towards a higher energy, another room in the mansion. So the idea that is, have I ever experienced it's hard to say because I don't know if I'm qualified enough to know that, well, this soul has never been on the planet before.
Well, I mean, wouldn't there be...
That's to suggest I know the whole history of the soul and where it comes from. But I will say this. There was a child that I encountered that I got such a strange vibe from, and I couldn't trace anything from this child, but just everything's new. There was nothing to trace backward.
So and it was, that would be indicative of maybe not having a past life history?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Because psychics, what psychics do is they sensationalize emotion. It's a sensation.
Sensationalize.
Emotion. They are able to pick up on emotional level a sensation that alludes to a reality. You know, more crude human beings might just say, I get a good vibe from this person, or, you know, my flesh crawls from this person, or I get goosebumps around this person. You know, we have this weird composition within ourselves that's called, it's been termed emotion. And emotion comes from the idea that the motion of the blood in the body stirs us to feel something. So our bodies are much like an ocean. And if something is disturbing us, the blood rises, the heartbeat rises, and the word E, motion. Think of E equals MC squared. E, motion. E equals motion. Emotion. So that essence of emotion becomes a very strong energy within us. Psychics define it on a higher level. Lesser psychic people will define it as just an emotional experience, and they try to articulate it. Psychics will bring in details. So that's the difference between that. And I did encounter a child where my emotional state felt like this child may have been on the planet for the first time.
Interesting. Okay, let's bring on this caller. Hi. 951.
Oh, hello.
Is this Nathaniel?
It sure is. How are you?
Hey, Nathaniel. 5757. Is that your birth date? No.
Yes, sure is.
Oh, it is. I remembered.
God, how do you?
Great memory. Great memory.
I don't know, Nathaniel. I remembered it. That's crazy. Okay, and he's compounded, isn't he? No. Well,
no, he's a 3-4.
No.
I'm in an 8 cycle now. An 8 cycle for another month or so.
Me too.
57.
Plus.
34.
Is that? Did I get the birth date right? Because no, it's 34/7. 5/7.
May 1st. 57.
Oh, May 1st. 57. So I didn't get it right. Okay. But I thought it was May 1st, and then I thought no,
he's compounded.
Okay, May 1st was my first thought, but then I thought no, that's wrong. But it was right. Okay, 5/1/5/7. You're on an 8 cycle. Well, let's see. 6/16, 28/10/1.
He's a 28/10/1.
Yeah. I do remember that for sure. 28/10/1. So, an 8 cycle, you don't cycle in 8s by your master number, but tell us what you mean by that.
I guess I'm not sure. I guess I'm in an 8 cycle.
Well, you're really, you cycle in, I mean, according to our theory, you cycle every year because your master number is 1, but you also have cycles of 10. So at the age of, is he 61 now or going to be 62?
61 right now.
So a year ago.
I'll be 62. Yeah.
You'll be 62. So a year ago.
6.1 cycle.
Right. You're a year ago, you had a change at 60 because you cycle in 10s as well. So you're. A year beyond 6.1. Anything significant last year happened, Nathaniel? Or in the last, within the last year?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully there's things, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you want to share anything, like, briefly with us, or?
Well, I've moved up to Sacramento now. And
oh, my goodness. And when did you move?
I've relocated. Did it on December 20th, a little before Christmas.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay. And how's things going there for you?
Well, great. I've got another job over here at SmartGuard Security. And then I've been working around. I went down to Stockton, but today I went out to Woodland, and they need a job for a groundskeeper over here in the cemetery, and it's so peaceful in town, and I've just stopped off at Woodland Park, and I didn't want to leave the city.
Yeah.
It was so peaceful here. It was so peaceful,
yeah.
And it's just, I saw a police car go by, and it looked like an older police car, but
it's
just seems like... what I kind of want to go back in time a little bit, you know.
Right. You're like back in the 60s or something, or 50s.
Because Stockton, I worked out at the Amazon warehouse that's almost finished right across from Stockton Airport. And there's been a hellacious amount of violence in the city. And then over in Sacramento, there's a lot of violence going on from that Stefan person that's been killed about a year ago here. So
oh, the shooting, the guy that was shot.
So I worked at a place right across from the district attorney's office on March 9th, and there was just, you know, all kinds of protest over there. But over here, it just seems so pleasant that I'd really like to just get over here across the river over here. And I've just applied for a job with, let's see, it was Dave and Casey. And it's a kind of a seasonal job, but it's with the county. So I applied for another job at the courthouse for a legal process server. But I'm kind of like liking this town a lot, you know, because it just seems to be so peaceful there.
Woodland you like. So and if you took these other jobs, you wouldn't be able to relocate. How far is Woodland from your current residence?
Oh, it's only about 12 miles. It's not that far.
Oh, so
at
you
all.
Could. So you could live in Woodland take these other jobs. Well, then
I could still actually live where I'm, you know, I live with my brother now. He bought a brand new house, so I'm living with him right now. So I had some credit card debt. I mean,
so you're able to pay it off. So, I mean, maybe you don't want to move right away. I mean, if you're...
Yeah, but it's going to take another month for me to do the background check over here, you know, working for the county and everything, they said. But I gave them a call back about 10 or 15 minutes ago just to, thank you for the interview and everything.
So what's your question specifically?
Oh, just a general checkup or anything, whatever you have.
Okay, well, I would say that I would say that, you know, Woodland is a great goal, but I wouldn't move now at all. I would wait until you say you're paying your credit card debt down, stay where you're stable, your brother has a beautiful home that you're living in. That's important to have a stable foundation, especially for him. He's 28101. Your master number involves, you know, the home, grounding, stability. Neil, anything that you want to say to him before we move on?
So,
I mean,
we have to close real quick, Nathaniel. We appreciate you calling, but you got us at the tail end of the show. I think it sounds really good for you to stay right now. And my understanding is that you might be a groundskeeper or a cemetery.
Or a legal process server at a courthouse.
Legal process server by far outweighs the other one.
Yep, I agree.
Although, you know,
I
was a groundskeeper too. And I also would, when I was younger, I would frequent cemeteries to write poetry and just hang around and get to know the souls and all that and the ground.
It's only a seasonal job, like a lifeguard, so it'll be for the next 6 months.
Oh, go for the
legal processor,
because you're about ready for a change.
But it's going to take a while, I think, for the legal processor. I'm still waiting on that. I think that it closes in another week. So.
But don't you have work right now?
I'm working at SmartGuard. Oh, yeah, I'm working at SmartGuard,
so,
and I still have another $2,800 to collect at the EDD if they don't call me. So. I'm still on unemployment, so it's...
Your job's... Are you saying your job is ending at SmartGuard?
No, I've just started there. I've been on unemployment for about 4 or 5 months.
Oh, so you just started, but you have work, so there's no rush in getting the job as a processor.
Yeah, I worked over by Stockton Airport. I'm working over at another mall. I helped a blind lady. They're going all to video Vanguard. It's all like a big speaker and a videotape on everything. But I saw a blind lady in the parking lot. I helped escort off the property and everything. And so they're not going to be able to do that, though.
Yeah.
Well, go for the legal. Right now, go for the legal position. And in the meantime, maintain whatever substance you have, you know, whether it's a seasonal job. It sounds like you're in a good place of transition. And there's going to be a strong energy of transition coming up. I mean, when you move 12/20/2018, that's a 16, which is your inverted year of 61.
Age of 61. He's not.
So that 12/20/2018 is a class up to a 16,
which is your
that's
age.
That's inverted your year of 61. You are going through a change. Your 8 energy that you're considering has to do with the 28 and your 28/10/1, the 8 in the 2018. So you have this 8, and 8 is a transcendent number. A higher number,
and it's higher than anything on his
within a lifetime.
On his linear birth date code. 7's the highest number in his linear birth date, so it is in the karmic accumulation.
Right.
So it's something to
if
aspire.
If I'm 62, would that equal 8
that's,
as well?
That's
yeah,
an 8,
that's,
and
no,
that's
going to be a great year, good year for you.
And
I'm
61 that's in your,
now, so that'd be a 7. So I'll be 62
yeah,
right.
May 1st, and that's fine.
So it's in your. Nathaniel, it's in your division of 28. So the distance between 2 and 8 is 6. So going backwards, it's a 2. The 2 is actualized, and there's a separation of 6 in the 2 and 8 of your karmic number. So, yeah, we have to close now, but we appreciate you calling.
Thanks,
it's been so long.
Hey, God bless. Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Nathaniel. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're out of time and back on the air on Wednesday next week or maybe Tuesday. Who knows? We may change the show. So we will decide that and keep posted. We will let you know on one of our pages and hope everyone has a great weekend. Bye.